Please bow your heads for the prayer of illumination. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have two scripture readings this morning. The first is from the Old Testament book of Proverbs, chapter 31, verses 29 through 31. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the city gates. The second lesson is from the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. This is the word of the Lord.
It's my pleasure to introduce my very favorite guest speaker. Sorry, Gary. Roxanne Johnson.
Hold your applause, please.
Good morning, everyone. I am Roxanne Johnson, and I was asked to talk with you today about friendship and God's hand in the friendships in our lives. I also want to thank Tracy and Laurel for their friendship and their creative leadership of PWOC, and I think we should give them a round of applause, please. And I also want to thank God for planting the seed of this congregation, for the richness of 50 years of service in His name, and the fruitful ground that it is for worship, spiritual growth, service, fellowship, and friendship. I believe God speaks to us in signs, and while I was preparing my remarks for today over the past several weeks, I was listening to the radio, and James Taylor's song, You've Got a Friend, came on, and I thought, well, that's a pretty good sign that I'm on the right track. People reaching out to me in friendship is one of the biggest reasons that I have been so comfortable here at CCPC and why it has been such a meaningful part of my life for the past 17 years. I only hope that I've paid that forward and reached out to others and welcomed them as I was welcomed. And while I thought I had a pretty good idea of what friendship means and what it means to be a friend, I started my preparation by going to the dictionary. According to Webster, a friend is one attached to another by affection or esteem, an acquaintance, or a favored companion. I recently watched a mini-series on the History Channel on the Hatfields and the McCoys. Did any of you see that? Brutal, brutal stuff, let me tell you. And the patriarchs of those two families were actually friends to begin with, and they were comrades in battle, and they actually even saved each other's lives. And how that friendship deteriorated into such a brutal and destructive part of both of their families is just, I can't even understand it at all. But believe it or not, the incident that really started the feud was a stolen pig. I mean, so that just shows you how stupid little things that we just let swell into something that has a life of its own can be just so destructive. So just be aware of that in your lives and try not to let that happen to you. It's a shame that those two gentlemen did not have a better understanding of what friendship really is. I know we already had some scripture readings today, and I think that God was in that too, because they were fairly short, because I'm going to read another one. I searched for some inspiration in scripture, and I found a beautiful guide for friendship. Friendship to both those who are strangers and those who have become integral parts of your lives. And it's in Romans chapter 12. And we also used this scripture in the memorial service for my father 5 years ago. And since he was one of my best friends, it seemed really appropriate to include it here today. So I'm going to read it. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 3 and then 9 through 21. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relation to you. Living then, as every one of us does, in pure grace, it's important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. This is from the Message translation, by the way. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tell us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy that person lunch. Or if he's thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. And I don't want you to underestimate God's hand in the development of our friendships. Think about your friends, the ones you spend time with now, the ones who were so special to you growing up, and the variety of ways that God has placed these people into your life. Friendship is a huge responsibility. Learning to be a good and trusted friend utilizes all the fruits of the Spirit that we've been studying recently that are cataloged in Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. God's providence is evident when good friends walk into our circumstances and alongside us throughout our lives. I've been blessed with many good friends in all stages of my life. And again, while I was preparing these remarks, I received another sign of in a very unlikely place, in the Cracker Barrel in Waldorf, where I was having lunch with some friends and family. As you know, if you've ever been in a Cracker Barrel before, they have this wonderful little gift shop, and it's got all kinds of little doodads all over the store, and you really got to spend some time looking. Well, there was a little plaque there, a beautiful plaque, had a picture of an angel on it, and it said, "Good friends are like angels. You don't have to see them to know that they're there." So I wanted to kind of go through my life, and hopefully you'll go through your life while you're listening, about the different friends that you've had in your life. I know one of my first friends was a girl that I met who was my same age when we moved to Bowie in 1965. Her name was Carol Vaughn, and God placed us, my family, right next door to her family. And we moved in September, and school had already started, and my parents made us go to school on moving day. I'll never forget that. I'll never forgive you for that, Mom. But I came home from school, and I was really, really shy as a child, and I came home from school, and I probably didn't say boo to anybody the whole day. And I came home, and my mother says, "Well, there was somebody here looking for you." And I'm like, "Who?" You know. And turns out it was Carol, and she lived right next door, and she had heard that a family with a bunch of children had moved in next door, and they had a daughter her age, and she wanted to meet me, and we became very, very good friends. Unfortunately, her family moved to North Carolina like a year and a half later, and we did keep in touch, not real well over the years, but we've reconnected recently, and it's a real blessing. And continuing on in your days of school, I had, as many of you probably did too, especially through high school, a gang of girlfriends that we hung out with. And there were about eight of us. And we spent like every Friday and Saturday night together doing all kinds of good and bad things. And when we all graduated and went to school and work and our separate ways, we kind of lost touch. And most of us really have lost touch with each other. But one of my friends in that group. Her name is Lene, and she lives in Minnesota. And after all these years, she has organized a girlfriend's reunion, and we're having it over Labor Day weekend at her home in Minnesota, and I am so looking forward to it. So even though you don't stay in close touch, those bonds that you make in your youth really are very strong. So you high school graduates, remember that. I know you've made some really strong bonds up to this point in your life, and those people will be your friends forever, hopefully. Then you move on to work. And I have an interesting friend story that's work-related. I currently work for the National Association of Professional Insurance Agents, otherwise known as PIA. And I've worked there, I just realized, for 20 years. And in two different stints, though. I worked there for 13 years, from the mid-80s to the late 90s, and the darn people laid me off. It was a devastating experience. And then 8 years later, they rehired me, and I've been there for 7 years. So there's my 20 years of service there. And I have a very, very good friend that I met in the early stages of my career there. Her name is Edna. She's old enough to be my mother, and she is one of my best friends in the whole world. She's been with me through my marriage, my wedding, the birth of my children, my divorce, everything that's happened after that, and she's just been a good and trusted friend. I also made another really good friend there when I came back in 2005, and her name is Teresa, and she is she's kind of a soulmate, and I'm old enough to be her mother, so it's interesting. Don't let age get in the way either. You can have friends of all different ages that can really be very special to you and you to them as well. But Teresa is one of those people that I can start to tell her something that I'm feeling or thinking, and she'll come back with some feedback that is exactly what I'm thinking, exactly the way I'm feeling. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, it's really amazing. But God put both of those women in my life at just the right time. I also have another good friend that I met through work, and her name is Betty, and she moved to Peoria, Illinois, many, many years ago, and I hardly ever see her, and I hardly ever talk to her either. But whenever one of us picks up the phone to call the other, it's like no time has passed. And I hope you have friends like that too. Moving along in your life, friends you make here at church or any church that you've been a member of, I really suggest to anyone who's new here, this is a very, very fruitful ground for friendship. And the best way that I have found to make friends here at CCPC is to get involved with things. Find something that you're interested in and start doing it. You know, it's just a really great way to become better acquainted with people is to work alongside them in some kind of work of the church. I've made many friends through the women's retreat, through the parents of the other children that were in youth group when my kids were in youth group, my women's circle, committees. Even committees can be fruitful ground for friendships. And, of course, the numerous opportunities for mission work here, both with Habitat for Humanity and the Honduras mission and Christmas families and warm nights, and, you know, anything that we do here is just really great to work alongside the people that are here and to become friends. The friendships that I've made here have inspired me to grow in every area of my life and given me the strength and the courage to do the things that I've dreamed of doing but just never stepped out on faith to do, like organizing Christmas families. I mean, I would have never thought I would do that. And going to Honduras and actually standing up here before you today. So another good source of friends is your neighbors. I have a very good friend, Claudia, that has started to attend here at CCPC. She's not here today because she's out on a fun weekend with her friends, other friends. Claudia was my neighbor for 20 years when I lived in my old house on Starlight Lane. And 5 years ago, my parents and I sold both of our houses that we were neighbors on Starlight Lane, and we moved to Shetland Lane, which is just around the block. And Claudia and I, while we were acquaintances before, it took me not being her neighbor, I guess, for us to become really, really good friends. And she is not only a good and trusted friend, but now a Christian sister as well. And I hope that you all will enjoy getting to know her as well. Let's not forget boyfriends. I have been divorced for almost 17 years. And in that 17 years, I have been a single person pretty much the entire time. And I guess God didn't think I was ready for a boyfriend until about a year ago when he brought a friend of my childhood friend of my brother's, who I've known for 40 years, back into my life in a different way. And his name is Buddy, and he's going to Habitat in a few weeks. So if you haven't already met him and you're going there, you'll have a chance to get to him. But he's wonderful, and he's now one of my best friends, too. Another source that you might not think of is your family. Family can be some of your best friends, but family relationships can also be problematic. So I got another sign recently. A couple weekends ago, I went to Ellicott City to spend the day shopping and eating and enjoying the beautiful weather with some family and friends. And we were in a little antique shop, and there was a little plaque on the wall that I thought was kind of clever and was appropriate for today as well. It says, "Friends always welcome, relatives by appointment." But I have a lot of friends right here in my family. My sisters, I have four sisters. They're some of my best friends. My mom, who's here with me today, and my roommate, like my father, is also one of my best friends. She was actually a bridesmaid in my wedding 30 years ago. Yes, you. I also am at a point in my life where, while my children are still fairly young adults, I see our relationship transitioning into one of friendship. It certainly has a friendship element to it now, too. And I found one of my best friends, or God found me one of my best friends, in one of my stepdaughters. Her name is Tammy. We met 30 years ago when she was 14. And we just immediately clicked, and we have been very close and very good friends all these years. And she's one of my most favorite traveling companions. And I look forward to seeing her all the time. I searched a little bit further. I wanted to get something more scientific, something meaty, something that would tell you that I really worked on this. So I did some research. My daughter, who did a lot of research when she was in grad school, she showed me this really cool tool on Google that I had no idea was there, that if you know, across the top where it has all the Google Maps and Google Images and Google Gmail, there's one that says More. If you click on More, there's a whole lot more. And there's one that's Scholastic, and it has all these research studies on it. I'm like, yeah, I didn't know that. So anyway, I looked there, and I was looking for something that would support the theory that turns out to be fact, that friendship is good for your health. So you probably won't be surprised to hear that as you grow older, especially, friendship is extremely important to your health. We really rely on friendship. And many studies over the years have found that people generally live longer, happier, healthier lives if they have a strong network of support from friends and family. Friendships are hardly ever simple, and it's challenging building and keeping the kind of connections that last a lifetime and truly make life better. But I've heard many stories of friendships right here in our congregation that have stood the test of time. It's definitely worth the effort. Good friendships seem to be especially helpful for the health of your heart, literally. I found a 3-year Swedish study of more than 13,600 men and women that showed those with close friendship bonds decreased the risk of having a first-time heart attack by as much as 50%. This was my most favorite part of this study, though. I also discovered this added bonus that women in the study who enjoyed close support from friends were less likely to have excessive abdominal fat. So I'm going to make myself some new friends. That was music to my ears, and a good segue to bring music into my remarks. It's another important way that we can express friendship. When I was a young Girl Scout, we learned a nice little song that has come to the front of my mind on many occasions over the years. You may know it too. I'm going to attempt to sing it for you and prove to you the reason why it's better for me to sing in the pew and not in the choir. It's make new friends but keep the old. One is silver and the other's gold. I see many of you know that song. And there's another familiar hymn that reminds us of the importance of friendship, specifically friendship with Jesus. It opens with, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus is one friend we can always count on. And I wanted to look up the background because it's just interesting to see what the background is and how some of these hymns come to be written. So I did a little research there too and found out that the poem that later became this song that was set to music was written by a man by the name of Joseph Scriven in 1857. He was born in Dublin in 1819. He was a very educated man, a graduate of Trinity College. And he migrated to Canada at the age of 25, which is the age my children are now, after losing his fiancée to a drowning accident the night before their wedding. He took the Sermon on the Mount very literally, and he had a great heart for mission. I thought he would fit in really nicely here at CCPC. There was a story told of him, of a man observing Scriven working diligently in the streets in Port Hope, Ontario, with his sawbuck and saw. The man asked, "Who is that? I want him to work for me." And he was told, "You can't get that man. He saws wood only for poor widows and sick people who cannot pay." Because of this, he was well respected, but they also thought he was pretty eccentric. But that was the kind of life that gave him the inspiration to write the poem that was later set to music. We've heard James and Gary begin the declaration of forgiveness many times with, "Friends, hear the good news." I too have heard those words many times before, but they had a different meaning for me last week when I heard Gary deliver them, and I knew I was preparing these remarks. So remember, God places us exactly where we're supposed to be, and he places other people in our path to be our friends. Some friends are to be in our lives forever, some just for a time. Sometimes for us to show God's love to them, and other times for them to open our hearts and see God's love through them. But oftentimes it's a mutual sharing of God's love. As Reverend James said a few weeks ago in his sermon titled, "The Person Who Tells the Best Story Wins," you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. That is true for each of us, and God is sending us to be a friend and to find a friend. So I challenge you to keep your old friends, cherish them as the gold that they are, but also go out and make some new friends, the silver lining to every cloud. It's good for your health. It's good for your waistline. Amen.